بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، إن شاء الله we'll continue the discussion of Surah Al-Fatiha. After you, the opening verses of Surah Al-Fatiha, after you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, and also Rabbul Alameen, and the one who provides in a merciful way for all the creatures of this existence. And He's also Maliki Yawmiddin, meaning He's the one that you're going to go back to and you're going to have to stand in front of, and it's going to be on His criterion, it's going to be on His criterion that you'll be judged on the Day of Judgment. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges as what is valuable, what is not valuable, it is all based on His criterion. And then once you made the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognize your goal of seeking to want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the means by which you do it, then the next obvious thing that you're going to ask and you're going to seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that guidance that will lead to Him, the guidance that will lead to His pleasure, the guidance that will lead to His approval of you on the Day of Judgment, when you meet Him on the Day of Judgment. So this next verse that we started discussing, اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, like all of the other verses, and is very closely related to all of the other verses that we've spoken about. And yesterday we spoke about one aspect of guidance. We said that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term guidance with respect to two different meanings. And one of the meanings or one of the forms is showing the path, for example, simply showing the path. So when we say اهدنا صراط المستقيم, we want to know what exactly is the meaning of this verse with respect to the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of guidance are we seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The second kind of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we did not speak about yesterday, and as we said yesterday, that kind of, the general kind of guidance that we spoke about yesterday, that's open to everyone. He has given that guidance to all of mankind, and it's up to mankind whether they want to accept or reject that guidance. The second kind of guidance, which we also alluded to when we spoke about the Prophet ﷺ, for example, that Allah told the Prophet ﷺ that he cannot guide the one whom he loves. This is the guidance wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the person's heart the love for the guidance, the attraction to the guidance, the will to follow the guidance. And this is what they call tawfiq, dalalat tawfiq. And where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts your willingness and blesses you with that feeling in your heart to attract you to follow the other form of guidance, the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown. And this is obviously a very special bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very special blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this guidance, obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give this type of guidance to everybody. It's not open to everybody. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on His knowledge, based on His wisdom, and based also on His mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides some people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has given us a very beautiful passage in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows what this guidance, how it manifests itself, and what is the result if you do not have this guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَمَنْ يُرِيدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ كَذَلِكَ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ الرِّجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that for the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to guide, yashrah sadrahu lil Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens his heart to to Islam, opens his heart to the guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that person receptive of the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turns that person towards the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to send astray, the opposite case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his breast, and in the first case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَشْرَ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, and he opens his heart and his breast to Islam. And in the opposite case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he makes his heart closed and constricted, as if climbing up to the sky. And you know that if you go the higher elevation you go, the less oxygen there is in the air, the more difficult it is to breathe. To the point that you will feel your lungs constricting and being very tight as you get higher and higher. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed and has determined is not worthy of the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his chest and his heart will always be constricted as if he is going up in the sky. And thus Allah puts the wrath upon those people who do not believe. So we have, as we said, the two types of guidance. We have the guidance where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the way. When he sent the messengers, when he sent the books, revealed the books, he was showing all of mankind that path that they should follow. That's one aspect, one level of guidance. And then on top of that though, we need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn our hearts towards that guidance. And make that guidance, as we talked about yesterday, make that guidance beloved to us. Make iman beloved to us. And make us turn away from kufr and disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only source of this guidance. And as we spoke about yesterday, in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only source of the other guidance also. So both types of guidance can only come originally from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ is a guide, he shows the straight path. But his knowledge, what he received, came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both kinds of knowledge obviously come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their sources only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, if someone is sincere about wanting to know how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if someone is sincere about that, then the only one that he can turn to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. The only one he can turn to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wisdom and knowledge finds that this person is someone who is deserving of the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him, he will be guided. I know it sounds kind of like a... But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him, that means that this person will be truly guided. There's no question that he will be guided. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يَهْدِي اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُحْتَدِي وَمَنْ يُذْلِلْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Whomever Allah guides, he is the guided one. And whoever he sends astray, then they are the losers. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us, وَمَنْ يُذْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends someone astray, then there is no one to guide him. He cannot have a guide. And actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَعَذَابِ الْآخِرَةِ أَشَقٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he will have a punishment in this worldly life, and his punishment in the hereafter will be even harsher. Even the Prophet Muhammad obviously was in need of both kinds of guidance. He did not know what is iman before Islam. He did not know what is iman. He did not have detailed beliefs about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter and so forth. So even the Prophet ﷺ needed this guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Prophet ﷺ that he was someone who was unaware of the guidance. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet ﷺ of this bounty to him in the Quran. And we read it, and Muslims will continue to read it until the Day of Judgment. And it is a reminder of us that the bounty that the Prophet ﷺ received, and also it should be a reminder of us of the bounty that we also receive. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet ﷺ, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala found you, He found you unaware, and in other words, not knowing about revelation and so forth, and He guided you. And there's a phenomena that we can see that reminds us that this guidance is truly only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can see examples in this world where someone, for example, is growing up in a Muslim family and in a Muslim environment. And if you look around him, you will see that all of the signs, all of the worldly factors, the worldly causes around him, whether it is his family, whether it is his society, even the social pressures that are upon him, you'll see that from a worldly point of view, everything would be pushing him to be a Muslim and continuing in Islam. Yet sometimes you'll find someone in that situation and he'll be the most open kafir, cursing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disbelieving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and openly turning his back on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, I am not a Muslim. Even though all of the worldly factors, as I said, if you're going to look at it, you would expect that this person is going to grow up and be a Muslim and be a Muslim all his life. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala found this person was not worthy of this bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let him stray. From a worldly point of view, probably you could not figure out how and why this happened. And his family, as I said, even social pressures. In Islamic society, social pressures maybe could keep someone sticking to Islam. And then you also find the opposite case. You also find the opposite case of someone living in a situation where there'd be no inkling, no even the smallest sign that somehow one day this person is going to be guided to the truth and be a Muslim. He doesn't have Muslim friends, he's not around Muslims. The society around him is maybe anti-Muslim. There's nothing pointing him to Islam, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His bounty brings that person to Islam. From a sociological point of view or whatever you want to describe it, there's no explanation for how come all of a sudden this person became a Muslim and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to Islam. Again, this is a kind of thing that we should reflect upon, that truly this guidance only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it cannot be explained from a worldly point of view even. And this should also be a reminder to us that we should be, first of all, conscious of our Islam and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what situation that we grew up in, whether we grew up in a Muslim family and in a Muslim society, or we grew up in a non-Muslim family and non-Muslim society, we should be very grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to the truth, guided us to Islam. And it's also very humbling in the sense that we realize also that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds that we are no longer, or we're not actually qualified to have this blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take it from us. Allah can take it from us. Someone could grow up as a Muslim, as we'll talk about, and then one day, all of a sudden, he's not a Muslim. And inshallah, we'll talk about, that's obviously related to this surah and this dua that we are making. So this bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, and obviously there's no, by the way, no contradiction between the two types of guidance, right? One is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the straight path to all of mankind, and it's open to all of mankind and free for all of mankind to follow it. And then the other one is those where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the people with iman in their hearts. And this is of course based on His wisdom and based on His knowledge. And those people who receive this guidance and receive this bounty, as I said, they should be very much aware of this blessing that they have received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in reality, First of all, you have to recognize it as a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, don't just take it for granted, especially if you grew up as a Muslim, don't just take it for granted that you're a Muslim. But even if you grew up as a Muslim and in a Muslim family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeping you within Islam is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously you are not doing any favor to Islam or to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being a Muslim. But in fact it is a bounty for you that you are Muslim. In fact, some of the Arab Bedouins, when they spoke to the Prophet ﷺ, they kind of spoke to the Prophet ﷺ in such a way as they are trying to say that because they became Muslim, this is something good for the Prophet ﷺ, and so it's kind of like a favor that they have bestowed on the Prophet ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهِ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah, and this verse in the Quran says, they impress upon you, talking about the Prophet ﷺ, as a favor that they embraced in Islam. Say to them, do not consider your Islam as a favor upon me, but in fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred a favor upon you, that He has guided you to the faith, if in fact you are true and sincere. In kuntum sadiqeen. If they're true about their iman, then in reality this is a great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them. And they're not doing any favor to Allah or to Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even with respect to this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could remove them and place any people as Muslims in this world. So we have to recognize this bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to recognize how great this bounty is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is a bounty that is distinguished from all other bounties of this world. Anything else you have with this world, doesn't matter how great it is, how big it is going to leave you at the time that you die. You know, you look at the people around you, as we spoke about one time before. Most people nowadays are afraid of death. This is all that they have. But the Muslim knows that the death is just another stage in their life. It's just another transition. And in fact, inshallah, it will be the transition to the better life, the best life, the life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this bounty is not only a bounty that stays with you after you die, but it is also the means by which your death will be an easy one on you, and your hereafter will be a blessed one for you. And in the hereafter you will be praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided you to this path. Something that all believers should be conscious of. And those things of this world, as we spoke about on many occasions, those things of this world that people look at as bounties, if they are without iman, if those people who have those things are without iman, then in reality those things of this world will keep them actually away from the real bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not be dazzled by their wealth and their sons, their large number of sons. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning to punish them with these things in this life and make it so that their souls will perish while they are denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while they are disbelievers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those things of this dunya actually are things that are keeping them away from the real bounty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are given these bounties such that they will be punished by them, and they will adhere to them so much that will keep them actually away from the real bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like when we talked about Iyyaka na'budu, this is our goal, this is really what our life is all about. If you ask yourself, what is it that I would like to be in this world? As we spoke about before, it should be someone who is a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or to put it in light of this verse that we're talking about, it should be someone who is guided. Someone who is guided. If you are someone who is guided, that is the best thing that you can be. If on top of that you also get the bounties of this world, if on top of that you get wealth or prestige or status or whatever, that can be just a ni'mah, a bounty upon a bounty. And inshallah, if you are guided, if you are truly guided, you'll know how to use those worldly bounties in such a way that it'll just increase your good in the hereafter. So it'll just be good upon good upon good. Exponential. طيب, so those are the two types of guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran. And so now the question for ourselves is that when we make this dua, when we make this dua, what kind of guidance are we asking for? اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us, and again it's the plural as we talked about before, to guide us to the straight path. But what kind of guidance to the straight path? In the Quran, actually, I will not go into this with too much detail, but the verb to guide, hada, yahdi, obviously it's a doubly transitive verb, takes two objects, right? You guide someone to something. You guide someone to something. So it has two objects, the people that you are guiding and what you're guiding them to. But sometimes it is made transitive by a preposition. So for example, in the Quran, you'll find the verb yahdi, for example, followed by ila, or followed by the harf lam. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati hi aqwam, that this Quran guides to a path which is most upright. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, using the other example, wallahu yahdi man yasha' ila siratin mustaqim, that Allah guides whom He wills to a path which is straight. So if it is made transitive with a harf, with the particle like ila or lam, then it is specific. If it says ila, then it is the first kind of guidance. The guidance of, what did we call it, irshad, or the guidance of showing the path. So wallahu yahdi man yasha' ila siratin mustaqim means He shows them, He shows whomever He wills this straight path. And if it is with the lamb, then it is particular for that case. It might be, in general, what it means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made those people that He's describing as capable and fitting and deserving of what He's giving them. But when it is transitive without a particle, without ila or without the lamb, like in this case, اهدنا صراط المستقيم, then it is general for both cases. It is general for both cases. So in other words, when we say اهدنا صراط المستقيم, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, especially here, اهدنا صراط المستقيم, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us what is the straight path. Show it to us. Yani make it something clear to us, so we can identify what is that path. And that's the first kind of huda that we talked about. And if we want to identify, we want to know what is that path. But we're not just asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell us what is that path, but we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead us to that path, to bless us with accepting that path and affirming it in our hearts and making us adhere to it. Give us the ability to follow it, put it in our hearts. So when we say اهدنا صراط المستقيم, we're not just asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the straight path. And some of the translations of the Quran, this is how they translate it, show us the straight path. Or even guide us to the straight path. Now I'm not claiming I can come up with a better translation, but I'm just saying that that's not capturing all of it. We don't just want to be shown the straight path, but we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us on the straight path. To put in our hearts the guidance, to put in our hearts the love for iman, the will to follow the straight path and so forth. So when we say اهدنا صراط المستقيم, we are not just asking, you know, what is the straight path? What is the Quran? What is the Sunnah? Show us this. We're asking much more than that. We're asking for that special bounty, that special ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives some people and He doesn't give others. Showing the straight path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that to everyone. Right? As we talked about yesterday, that's open to everyone. But we want that special ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where He makes us believers and He makes us those people who are dedicated to the straight path and follow it properly. This is what we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to know the straight path, yes, but we also want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us on that straight path. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. We already said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إياك نستعين. You're the only one that we're seeking help. And we know that the help can come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so now we're asking specifically, what is that help? We want us to be put on that straight path and following that straight path. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. And in fact, when we study the opposite cases of al-maghdubi alayhim and al-dalin, it's very clear that what we mean is both. We want to know what is the straight path, and we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us by putting us on that straight path. And so we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to this very important dua. And by the way, we'll notice that in this surah now, we have mentioned the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have made statements like Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We have made statements like Iyyaka nasta'in, which are implicit dua. They are implicit dua, as we spoke about. That their meaning actually is dua, but they are not stated in the form of dua. When we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we want, this is ba'al isti'ana, we want Allah's help. When we say Iyyaka nasta'in, we're saying, you're the only one that we rely on, so we want your help. But now finally we make the dua, which is the explicit dua. And this is the only dua that we make in this surah. We explain it further, but this is the only dua, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Because if this dua, as we spoke about yesterday, if this dua is fulfilled properly, if we get the complete and true guidance, then it will cover the other aspects that we spoke about. It'll cover the aspect of Iyyaka na'budu, that we want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us this, then the rest also come. Because that is part of the guidance, that is part of the hidayah, or the guidance that we get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the only explicit dua that we make in this surah, because it will cover then the other implicit dua that we made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now that we've already touched upon the meaning of guidance, I think it's easy to answer a question that even sometimes you hear this question from Muslims, and even Ibn Taymiyyah addressed it. But a lot of times you hear it from non-Muslims, or in particular, one Christian writer that I know of. He said that Muslims know that they are misguided. This is what he said. He said, Muslims know that they are misguided, and that's why they say in the Quran, اهدنَا صراط المستقيم. And that's why they make this prayer over and over again. They're asking Allah to guide them to the straight path, so it's up to us as Christians to go. And actually, that's one thing that you'll notice in what the prayer that I referred to in one of the other lectures, what is known as the Lord's Prayer, which is the basic prayer of any Christian. There's no mention of asking for guidance whatsoever in that prayer. It's not even a concept for them. And as I said, even Muslims ask, if we are Muslims and we are guided, how come we every time we come back and we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم? Why? Isn't this asking for something that we already have? Obviously, if someone asks that question, then their concept of guidance is not, the least we can say, their concept of guidance is not complete. The concept of guidance is not complete. It may even be incorrect, Allahu A'lam, but at least the concept of guidance is not complete. Because if you understand what is guidance as a whole, you will understand why it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has led us to this important dua. Remember, this is not of our making. We did not come up with this, right? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to and has ordered us to say, as we said, a minimum of 17 times a day. So obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to order us to ask for something that we already have and keep asking for it over and over again. But there must be something obviously more to it. And the scholars actually have written in much detail and given many, many points about why it is so important that we continually turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. In fact, Ibn al-Qayyim wrote about it in at least three different places, giving different, in each place, in fact, two of them in the same book, giving different lists of why it's necessary. His teacher, of course, Ibn Taymiyyah also discussed it, and as I said, virtually everyone has discussed it. So we'll start with one of Ibn al-Qayyim's discussions. And first of all, as I said, when you think of guidance, you have to think of it in a rather broad aspect, and don't think of guidance as something very small, something that I've been guided to Islam, I'm a Muslim, so I have guidance. Okay, as I said, if this is what you think about guidance, then you will ask, why are we always saying this? So for example, Ibn al-Qayyim, he says that what we're hoping for and what we need and what we're desiring is complete guidance. Complete guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in one passage, he says that complete guidance has six components to it. The first aspect of it goes back to that first type of guidance that we spoke about. The guidance of knowledge and recognizing the truth. The guidance of knowledge and recognizing the truth. I can assure you that when people think to themselves, why do we keep saying اهدنا صراط المستقيم, the first thing is we have to know what is it that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the way of life as a whole that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How is it that we're supposed to behave? So the first thing we have to have is that knowledge. And we'll talk about some of the details of that knowledge. But first thing is that knowledge. We have to know what is the path. How many Muslims in the world nowadays, maybe they've never even read the Quran, never read the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And what they know of Islam is just some things that's been passed down from their forefathers. And they may not even know what is Islam and really what isn't Islam. So if we want guidance, the first thing we have to have, we have to have the knowledge to know what is right, what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any shortcoming we have in this is a shortcoming in guidance. And I'm sure we all know that we have shortcomings in this. Otherwise there would be no muftis in the world. You wouldn't have to turn to anyone to ask for fatwa, right? Because all the guidance, you know all the guidance. Anytime you ask for fatwa, anytime you think about turning to someone and ask for fatwa, you should realize that this means that there's some guidance that you don't have. Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اهدنا صراط المستقيم. You remind yourself of why you keep having to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that guidance. Now it is one thing to know something, as we spoke about yesterday, and it's another thing to have the will and the desire and the courage to be able to fulfill what you know. Ilm is one thing, amal is something else. Knowledge is one thing, acting upon it is very different. And as we said, when we talk about guidance, the two concepts that we talk about is not simply knowing, but we also want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us by giving us the desire, the want to implement that knowledge. So when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us by giving us the desire to fulfill that knowledge. Because many people have knowledge of many aspects of the Quran. Personally, I've met people from some Muslim countries, memorize the whole Quran, they don't pray at all. You know, they grow up running long distances. So during that, they memorize Arabic poetry and they memorize the Quran. So they know the Quran, memorize the words of it. They don't pray, they don't do anything based on that Quran. So not only do we have to know, but we have to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the intention. And then we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us by guiding us to fulfill the act, to be able to fulfill the act. So we have knowledge, then we have will, then we have action. And we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is part of, as I said, that more general concept of guidance. This guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives of guidance, it is something very comprehensive. We might just get part of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may determine that we're only deserving a part of it. So we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what we should be doing at least 17 times a day, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us His guidance. And that guidance includes not just the knowledge, not even just the will, but the action. Help us go and do the act. Also, we may be guided when it comes to general aspects of the deen, and this is his fourth component, but we need also to be guided with respect to the specifics. The specifics. Okay. We may know that Islam is, you know, such and such, and we're supposed to pray five times a day and so forth, but we need to know, for example, exactly how to pray. We need to know the specifics of how to pray if we want to be on that straight path. We need to know the specifics of how to fast. So we might know the general concepts, but we need to know the specifics. Well, it might also be the case, as I said, that we are partially guided, or we're guided under some circumstances. In some aspects of our life, we are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then in other aspects, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not blessed us with that guidance. Maybe when it comes to interacting, for example, with the brothers in the mosque, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us. But when it comes to interacting with our wives or with our children, or when it comes to interacting on a business level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not blessed us with guidance in those areas. So we might be guided in some areas, but when we look at our lives, we realize that we are not guided in all areas. So we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us in those areas also. And the sixth component, he says, is that even those things that we have the detailed knowledge of, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the detailed knowledge of, we still need to be persistent and continual in practicing that guidance. And that is also a part of the guidance that we're asking for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, as I said, that's in one passage. Ibn Qayyim mentions the six components for complete guidance. In another passage, he discusses some other aspects. One of them that he speaks about is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the person from all of the obstacles from the path. Protects the person from all of the obstacles from the path. And when we get into the rest of the surah, we'll have further understanding of what that means exactly. And in fact, that is part of the rest of our dua, basically, that we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to a certain path that is free from other paths. One of the things that people face nowadays, for example, and even they can see the Quran and Sunnah, they can recognize what it says and so forth, but nowadays people have come to them with what they call in Arabic shubahat, and usually translated as misconceptions, but probably not. Misconception is not the best term. Any doubts? Doubts? We'll take that. So for example, someone goes to the Quran and Sunnah and sees, let's take a common one that people always bring up, growing the beard. It's definitely part of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, something that he ordered and so forth. But people will come to you nowadays and say, why do you have to grow the beard? What's the purpose behind the beard? There's no real need for growing the beard nowadays. Well, we're living in this society and so forth. So he'll be bombarded with all of these things, and these things will keep him from following the path, even though the path is very clear. He knows the hadith, he sees the hadith, he's spoken to people who have beards and will tell him why a Muslim should have this beard or whatever, or the hijab or whatever the case might be. So one of the aspects of complete guidance is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes those obstacles away from you and leaves you an open path that you can practice Islam. For complete guidance also, what Ibn Qayyim mentions, one aspect that he mentions is the need and the necessity of realizing that that guidance is above and beyond any other kind of necessity that he needs. See, the one who is blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with real, or what we can call complete, we can use this term, he uses this term, complete guidance, one of the things that he is blessed with is the fact that getting guidance and following guidance is the most important priority in his life. I mean, we spoke about the fact that this is a ni'mah that goes with you beyond death. So if you don't have food and drink in this world, you can die. But if you don't have this necessity, this most important need, then it's not only in this life, but in reality in the hereafter, and your eternal life will be ruined. So it is part of the complete guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows on a human being, that he realizes and recognizes the fact that this guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him is the most important necessity that he could have. So this is when we say اهْدِنَا صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. Obviously, when we're turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want and we hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as complete a guidance that we can get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually, all of these components are part of that guidance. So if we don't have these components, if we're seeing that we recognize in our lives that we don't have these components, then it is necessary for us to go back and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep asking. But it's important for us to also to recognize what is it that we're asking for. Because if you're making dua and you don't even know what you're asking for, then it's not surprising that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not give you everything that it entails. And then Ibn Qayyim says also another aspect of that complete guidance is where the person recognizes not only the path of guidance, but the person recognizes the paths that take him away from guidance. If someone does not recognize the path that take him away from guidance, it is easy for the person to fall into one of those paths. So it's not only important that you recognize what is the path that you want, but you should recognize, if you want complete guidance where you're really, alhamdulillah, enlightened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you also want to know what are those paths that will take you away. And there are two main paths, obviously, that we'll discuss when we go later in this surah. Ibn Qayyim also points out, then this is now a third or fourth place that he discusses it. He said, obviously, that we have to recognize the fact that the things that we are not aware of, the things that we are ignorant of, are much greater than the things that we have knowledge of. And then of those things, so you have one subset here, the things that we have knowledge of are much less than the things that we don't have knowledge of. And then of those things, the things that we have knowledge of, the things that we do not do out of laziness and negligence are also great. And even if we take what we know, the amount that we actually apply is also great. The act that we actually don't apply is also great. And then even from among those things that we want to do, the amount that we have the ability to do, or the amount that we don't have the ability to, is also sometimes great in number. So that goes back to that, as we said, knowledge and will and action. And Ibn Taymiyyah pointed out that these things, the knowledge and the will and the action, these are not necessarily things that will come all at once. But these are things that, inshallah, usually you grow into, you develop. So you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep increasing you in these things. And when you have these things, sometimes you might lose some aspect of it. So you need always to refresh and to recharge these things. So turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, and he just can refresh these three main components. And he also goes on and says that obviously knowledge by itself is not sufficient. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you knowledge of the path and you do not turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask for the willingness to follow that path, then that knowledge will be a proof against you. That knowledge will be a proof against you on the Day of Judgment. And he also goes on further and says that anyone who is familiar with mankind knows that mankind is filled with aspects of jahl, ignorance, and dhulm, wrongdoing. And so if he studies the nature of mankind, he will appreciate exactly why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has led us to this dua and made us make this dua over and over again. Because even among people who have been blessed with some level of guidance, they can always have sometimes some kind of jahl, some kind of dhulm, some kind of ignorance, some kind of wrongdoing. So even these people have to continually turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Well, guidance also, it's related to our past, our present, and our future. When we say ihdina siratal mustaqim, we are making a dua that is related to our past, our present, and our future. Related to our past because obviously the actions that we did in the past, we have to take them in consideration. We have to, as Umar told us, we have to reckon ourselves before we'll face the reckoning on the Day of Judgment. So we have to study our actions that we did in the past and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us with respect to the actions that we already did. So if we committed sins, we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His forgiveness. If we did wrong to someone, We have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to how can we remove that wrong in this life before we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are following a wrong path, doing actions which were not correct, then we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to what is correct. So part of the guidance that we're asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has to do with our past. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to understand what was our mistakes, what was our faults, what were our sins, so that we can, inshallah, properly repent from them and change. So even this dua, as I said, even what you've done in the past, inshallah, it will be covered by this dua. And if we get the guidance of Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to us, we will be able to solve what has happened to us in the past. And obviously for the present, as we spoke about ibadah, the concept of ibadah, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it covers every aspect of our life. So as soon as we leave the salat, we start, and even in the salat actually, but as soon as we leave the salat, we start doing actions. And every action that we do has some judgment in the Sharia. Either it was halal, mubah, something wajib, something haram. It might have been something mubah, might have been something permissible, but because the intention that you had behind it was wrong, it was a sin. So obviously in the present, obviously we need guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to choose the right decisions. In our daily lives we also come across new things, new events we've never faced before, maybe even things that the ulama haven't even discussed. So we need the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how that guidance might come to us, we don't know. Maybe we think that no ulama has discussed, and all of a sudden we find a whole 500 page book about it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us what to do in that situation. We need even guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only to know what is proper, but even to know what is best. What is best? Because if we want complete guidance, we want to follow the way that is best, most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to know under certain circumstances what's an action that normally the Sharia would allow or not allow, and under these circumstances, the opposite is the case. Obviously, with the kind of extremes that the Muslims are going to today, both extremes with respect to jihad and terrorism, whatever, and the other extreme of not applying Islam properly, with all these extremes, we know it's very clear to us that we as Muslims need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us in our present action. And obviously, future, when we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, to keep us following that right way, even with respect to the correct things that we do, to keep us following that right way, that is covered in this dua. And with respect to the wrong things that we do, future is to change our ways, inshallah. So this is a dua that we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as I said, it covers our past, covers our present, and covers our future. Because in reality, there is lots of realm of guidance that we should be hoping for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who thinks that he is completely guided and there's no room for him to get even more guidance, well, first of all, I wouldn't expect this from a Muslim anyway. Maybe some other groups of people, they might have that way of looking at themselves. But I would not expect this from a Muslim. But even those people who have guidance, they have to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give them more guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, tells us in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدَى وَأَتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those who were guided, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased their guidance and gave them their taqwa. And in fact, in the beginning of Surah Al-Fath, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that victory over the disbelievers, I mean the future victory, referring to the future victory, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to a path that is straight. So even in reference to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about guidance. So a Muslim has to be very humble, obviously, with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always realize that there's more room for guidance that he needs. Especially, I think nowadays, I don't think anyone would put himself at the same level as the Sahaba or the Prophet ﷺ. So when we turn in the Salat, every time we read this, we realize that there is lots of room that we need, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. And by the way, when I said that the guidance also includes the future, as Ibn al-Qayyim talks about, one of the aspects of guidance when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance is guidance in the hereafter. Guidance to that path to Jannah, over the sirat leading us to Jannah. That is also part of the guidance that we're asking for. So when we say it covers our future, we're not just talking about our future worldly existence, but we're also hoping from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the guidance that will cover our existence in the hereafter. Actually, the ulama have mentioned many points related to this, of why is it that people who, as I said, from an outward level looks like that they have guidance already, why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them and guided them to this dua that they have to continually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. And one of the things that we can understand from this is that we can never, as a Muslim, we can never be complacent with respect to our Islam. We all know the fact that iman increases and decreases. Iman can increase and iman can decrease. Unfortunately, iman can decrease to a level that it's lost completely. But inshallah, that won't happen to any of us, inshallah. But I'm sure that all of us have experienced periods in our life in which doing the voluntary deeds, for example, become very easy. You know, we're ready to fast extra days, we're ready to make the sunnah prayers, we're ready to get up at night, we're ready to read Quran. We go through those periods in which these things become very easy for us. And then we may also go through those periods in which the obligatory deeds become like heavy chores, drudgery. Oh, it's a salat time, have to pray. And it's not unusual. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ has told us that these kind of things are going to happen. But when these things happen to us, we should realize the fact that, as I said, we cannot be complacent, we cannot be lackadaisical with respect to our iman, with respect to our Islam. Especially if we've gone through these kind of periods, we should really appreciate what we're saying when we say, "Ihdina siratal mustaqim." We should be thinking to ourselves, "Oh Allah, keep me away from that time in which I was like that and that, and make me like that time in which you guided me to do all of these deeds." So a believer is never going to be in a situation where he will be complacent about his iman and his Islam, but instead he'll always be turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, very hopefully from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to give him guidance. And any time that he feels that he can dispense with that, this is a true sign that there's a real disease in his heart. Anytime that he thinks he can dispense with turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, then you know right away there is a grave, a very dangerous disease in his heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also reminded us of the fact that when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reality, the most important deeds when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deeds that are going to be the sign of where we belong to, are going to be those deeds that we perform when we died, at the end of our lives, what we sealed our lives with. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna al-'abda la ya'malu 'amala ahli an-nar wa innahu min ahli al-jannah. Wa ya'malu 'amala ahli al-jannah wa innahu min ahli an-nar. Wa innama al-'amalu bil khawatim." The Prophet ﷺ said that a servant does deeds of the people of Nar, but he is from the people of Jannah. Alhamdulillah, that is a good sign that you might go through a period where you're doing the deeds of the people of Nar, but alhamdulillah, you might be from the people of Jannah. But at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ said that another person does the deeds of the people of Jannah, and he is from the people of Nar. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the deeds will be judged according to the actions that seal them. In fact, another hadith, I'm sure we're all familiar with, about the people who do Someone might do the acts of Jannah, the people of Jannah, حَتَّى مَا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعًا. That he does the acts of Jannah to the point that there's only just like an arm span between him and Jannah. Then what has been written for him overcomes him and he does the actions of the people of Nar and he'll be in the hellfire. This is obviously a sign to us that we should never, first of all, the bounty of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great bounty. We should never downplay it. But we should always be careful about our actions. We should always be careful about Islam. Take it as something very dear. Try to protect it. And always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to often make a dua in which he used to say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O you who turns the hearts, confirm my heart upon your deen. So when Aisha asked him, are you worried about us that we may not stick to the deen? The Prophet ﷺ told him that the hearts are between two fingers of Ar-Rahman and he turns them any way that he wills. And in fact, the heart actually, as another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ has told us, the heart itself is called the heart min taqallubihi. And because of the fact that it can be turned very easily. And the Prophet ﷺ described it as it can be turned like a leaf in the wind. When the wind blows, the leaf is turned over. And this is part, by the way, having this knowledge is part of the guidance. That you are aware of the fact that this could happen to you anytime. Now, another part of the guidance is that you act upon this knowledge. And you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you keep turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you. So when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, اهدنا صراط المستقيم, this is not a light kind of dua that you're making. And unfortunately in some of the books of tafsir, it says it like this, that it's kind of just like a reaffirming of what you're already doing. No, it's not that at all. It is a plea to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us with this ni'mah, protects this ni'mah for us, and in fact grows, helps us grow with respect to this ni'mah of guidance. Because as I said, any time, any moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take that guidance away from us, turn our hearts, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so decrees it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds that this person is not deserving of this guidance, of this ni'mah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns his heart and takes this away from him. So this is a very serious dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to, and obviously, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to it, and made it obligatory upon us. Is there any other dua that you know that is made obligatory upon us? This is something the scholars have differed about. There might be some specific dua. But what we know, the only dua that all scholars are agreed upon, that is obligatory upon us to make, is this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Because it is so essential to our deen. It is so essential. And so therefore when we make it in the salat, we should realize or think about how essential it is to our deen, so that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer it in the best way. And inshallah next time we'll continue with some other aspects related to guidance and then move on to discuss as-sirat al-mustaqim. But on that point, today we'll have to end, inshallah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma wa bihamdika. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.